This podcast replay is brought to you by KSDT CPA, one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit them at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
There he is. How you doing, my man? You doing
good? Good. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. I can't complain, although last night kind of sucked. They didn't play very well, but, you know.
What are you going to do, right?
I mean, I picked Denver in six, so I'm not going to act like, oh, my God, I was shocked that they lost and all that kind of stuff. But, it is what it is.
By the way, Denver is really good. This kind of got lost, and we had a lot of conversations about Embiid and Jokic and Denver and all this, and people think I hate Denver.
By the way, they haven't let it go on this show.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sure
they haven't, and they shouldn't, because, like I said, it's fun. And I still do believe that Embiid is the better player. I will not relinquish that. But I will say Denver has consistently been the best team in the West, and arguably, other than the Celtics, the best team in the league throughout, like, the whole season. And so
– the Sixers don't have Jamal Murray,
correct,
dude.
Correct.
That's
correct.
The bottom line.
Yeah.
It's a wash between – I don't give a shit about Embiid or Jokic. That's we're splitting hairs.
Jokic is really, really good.
Like, he's phenomenal.
He's such a phenomenal player too.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah. But both of them are phenomenal. Yep. But neither one of them are winning shit if it's the other guys around them that have to really get it done. And his supporting cast is superior.
Yeah.
To Embiid,
they have a complete team. And Aaron Gordon is a complete mismatch for the Heat. They don't have a guy that's able to guard him down low. They just don't. You know, they've tried a lot of different options. I just don't really know what the answer. A lot of these dudes they play are too small for him, or they're not.
Well, they went cheap and they didn't want to pay for a power forward. And here's where you need a PJ.
And the thing about it is, it hasn't hurt them really until this series.
Because there's not a lot of size. Right. Size is not a thing that much in the NBA. In fact, they couldn't play Love in the last series because Boston was countering with a small lineup.
Exactly.
But now they're playing Denver, and they're long everywhere, dude.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Murray's a 6'4 guard, and then you've got Porter who's long. And, you know, so you've got a bunch of guys on that team that they're just a pain in the ass, you know, to match up. Gordon was miscasted in Orlando because you're trying to make him a frontline player when his offensive skills don't set it up. But where he's at now that he gets to play, what's the name of the Australian dude that everybody likes that's with the Thunder and where is he at now? The long-haired guy that he kind of reminds
me of.
Yeah, he kind of reminds that he'll – up anything underneath that he'll the power game, rebounding, all of that. And Aaron Gordon, all he has to do is hang around the paint, and Jokic is going to find your ass, and you're going to pick up easy baskets, dude.
So it's interesting, as you're discussing this, it's kind of like the NFL, but really in all sports go through waves, right? And the current wave is you got to have superstars and shooters, right? And your wing players, all of a sudden, the four position has often translated to being a second power, a small forward, a second forward. You essentially have, okay, we're going to have our two guards, and then we're going to have two small forwards as our wing, and then we're going to have a center. And so Boston has that formula, essentially, right? You know, you've got a lot of times they played the big lineup against Philly, but otherwise they're playing, you know, a combination of Smart, of Derek White, of Tatum and Brown. And those are their four other than Horford, right? And all those guys are essentially guards, big guards. So that's essentially the new era. But when you play a team that can actually play you out of it, like Denver, who has a true four in Aaron Gordon, a true five who can pass the ball, and Jokic, it really tests you. And there's not a lot of teams that have a true four and a true five. But still have the ability, like Denver does, to shoot and beat you from the one through three spots, you know, with Michael Porter, with a Jamal Murray. They're just such a deep team, and they have such incredible talent all the way through. And so we'll see. I mean, I'm not writing the Heat off yet. I think people would be foolish to do that given what they've done throughout the season, but they clearly have a uphill.
Well, they got to win tomorrow. I mean, on Sunday, they got to win game two.
I'd say, series doesn't start until
they're not beating Denver 4 out of 5.
If the series doesn't start until somebody loses at home.
Right. No, but if you don't win on Sunday, you have no shot in this series unless there's, you know, Jokic blows out a knee or Jamal Murray or something that just completely opens the door for them. I think the Heat has to win Sunday. They have to win Sunday.
It would certainly help. I don't think it's a must win just because I just saw the Celtics come back from 3-0 and nearly.
Denver. No. Denver's better than Boston, better than Miami, better than Milwaukee. They're better, dude. You can't screw around with this team.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they toyed with the Lakers, bro. They toyed with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Phoenix too.
Yeah. To me, you have to win on Sunday. If not, I don't think you have a shot in hell at all. I completely write them off if they lose. And by the way, Butler is injured because he did not have a free throw and he did not play like his hair was on fire. And yeah. It's the finals. Something's going on with Jimmy Butler. This reminded me of X, the same shit. I can have my issues with X about the stupid contract issues every year. And
you do.
The off-field issues. And I've had, and also other injuries that he's had too. But I can compartmentalize and take all that bullshit away. And I never used any of that last year. You know that. Mm-hmm. And I said, something's going on with X.
Right.
That's not 100% because there's no way you're beating X that badly. No freaking way you're beating him that badly.
Right.
And so to me, when I saw Butler play like this in game one, you know, this is not game seven that you're all worn out. I got it then. I was, okay, maybe he's a little worn out. I'm starting to think Butler's injured. What do you
think? Yeah, he probably is. He probably is banged up. But to be frank, everybody's banged up. And I know Butler.
I think he's injured.
He may be injured too. Right. But the reality is if we're keeping it consistent, and I love Jimmy Butler, I told you guys, he's my favorite player that doesn't play on my favorite team. Sixers fan, obviously, I got affinity for them. I love Jimmy Butler. Never should have got rid of him. But we didn't make the excuse for Joel Embiid when he had an injured knee that he's playing on or sprained ACL.
Joel wasn't complaining. Embiid and Butler are not complaining about injuries.
Correct. Neither one is complaining. My point is that everybody eviscerated the Sixers. They didn't say, oh, well, they get a pass because Embiid's hurt. No, they still got eviscerated. Jason Tatum sprains his ankle or whatever he did. And to me, the Celtics should not have gotten an excuse. They put themselves in that situation. They get what they get. Celtics fans may have used it as an excuse, but to me, it's not a narrative. Jimmy's hurt, but he's been hurt since late in last series. And to me, that is not an excuse. It's probably a valid reason, but it's not an excuse for you to lose the series. I don't think that's something you say, oh, well, we won the series.
In their case, yes. See, I think all of these things are completely different. You're lumping them all together. I don't. Jimmy is one star on this team, the only star. Without that star shining bright, they have no shot at winning. Embiid was hurt. There's no doubt. But I also watched Embiid last year all fucked up with a cast in his hand, and he played his freaking ass off last year.
He's just built that way. I mean, he's built that way.
But my point is that I can use those excuses for those two dogs because those guys aren't pointing at their injuries as excuses, and they're just fighting through it. And Embiid's issue wasn't Embiid. It's what's around him, dude, that it's just not enough around him. And that's his problem. Embiid is not the problem with the Philadelphia 76ers. It's the cast around him that hasn't been good enough. And even when they did have it, because when they had Butler, they could have made a decision to kind of make the right decisions, and they didn't make the right decisions there. Now, with Tatum, this has been a flaky team for years now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he's the one that was sitting on the podium whining about his ankle and all that stuff. And then Jaylen Brown had a point about his ankle and all about, you know, Tatum's ankle. Even Brown was whining about Tatum's ankle. And to me, that's what I can defend Embiid and Butler and say, hey, those guys were injured, but those guys are warriors. Okay, so I'm going to give them the excuse because they deserve it. Jason Tatum, or how about Jaylen Brown? Brother, you didn't have an ankle issue, and you choked that same night the same way Tatum did, just like White did, so just like the dude with the green hair, Marcus Smart. You know, they all choked. They all shot poorly. So they don't get the excuse because I still question who they are. I don't question Embiid and Butler. I just don't. I really don't. I look at them differently. I don't know about you, but that's kind of – that's why when you were lumping them together, I kind of think and Jimmy's just all by himself, dude. You know, although Bam played well yesterday. Got to give Bam a lot of love yesterday. Did well.
I'm going to learn a lot about this Heat team on Sunday.
All right, I want to find out something from you.
Okay.
So Ben Simmons is looking swole. So do they have weights for the heart?
As you know, as my Sixers fandom, I don't have a very strong affinity for Ben Simmons. And mama told me, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And so I'm just going to let Ben Simmons.
You know, I've been around sports a little longer than you, but you've been around a long time and you're going into these locker rooms. I'm just wondering, are there any weights for your heart? You know, to go to the Wizard to get that?
To me, that's something you either have or you don't. And so I've wiped Ben Simmons' conversation from my memory. And I will say, as much as we give Harden flack and he hadn't shown up in the playoffs, the Sixers absolutely won that trade because they got off of Ben Simmons' contract and they got something of value for him. Which at the time,
they're about to get out of the Harden contract if they want now. If he moves on,
they'll have a decision. I don't think they're going to give him the max, but I think it's smart. I think they'll tell you to take the contract at the value we want it, or if you don't really value winning, go to Houston and take as much money as you want and have your retirement tour for the next few years.
All right, you're getting the questions. I get the questions. So when does Dalvin Cook become a Dolphin? Go ahead, tell us.
I don't know that this is a lock to happen, like a lot of fans assume it is. Like, I know Dalvin's from this area, and so like many people around this area, he probably would love to play here. There's no state taxes. It makes a lot of sense. But I think the Dolphins are probably comfortable with their running back room. They're probably not going to spend a lot of money on him. And Minnesota probably doesn't want to give him away for anything. And so I think the interesting conversation is, do they, you know, a lot of running backs have been sort of, I don't want to use the term bullied, but sort of pressured into taking some sort of pay cut and say, hey, I don't know what Dalvin Cook's making, maybe $11 or $12 million. Hey, trim that number to 8 and we'll guarantee it and you're good for the year. Cook, of course, wants his full 12. I'm just saying a random number. And so you have to take your chances. Do you want to say no, call their bluff, see if they keep you on the roster for 12, or cut you and you see if you can make 8 on the open market? I'm not sure if he makes 8 on the open market. I'm just like putting up variable numbers. I don't know what the numbers actually are. And so that's why it's a tough decision. Like I mentioned this earlier to you guys. I was on GMFB with Aaron Jones, who was the Green Bay Packers running back. And he took a $5 million pay cut. I think it actually was $6 million pay cut earlier this offseason. He was set to make $17 million. He came off a year where he played all the games this season. He was very productive. But the Packers essentially were like, we're not paying you $17. And so you can take this $11, we'll guarantee it, or good luck on the free agency market. And he said, you know what? Free agency market is not looking great for us. I'm going to take my $11 and you know, keep it moving.
So, and can you explain Saquon Barkley? Like he turned down one that was like 14 or 15 from the Giants.
Right.
And it's like, yo, dude, you're an injury prone back. I get it. You're insulted by the tag to the quarterback. Cause I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And he thought he was going to get the tag and then the money would have been a little better, but now the quarterback got the tag and now he refused that deal. And I'm like, yo, dude, they're not going to be out on the open market giving you $50 million. So
running. It's just the value of running backs these days. Like teams have decided that running backs are the least valuable position outside of specialists. You know, outside of specialists and like very, very
safety,
like very sometimes. Small role positions like fullback yeah. or like nose tackle. There's no other position that are making as little as running backs, and so they've clearly been
and as used up. Holy crap.
Right. And so I get it. Like Saquon Barkley's probably like, man, I am the offense in the New York Giants. I'm seeing Daniel Jones get 40, 45 million. You telling me I got to swallow this 10, 11 and do it with a smile and nothing guaranteed beyond this year? It doesn't seem fair, but that's the reality. And so Dalvin Cook's going to have a decision to make. But the problem is, I just don't know if there's a ton of money just sitting out there in free agency for Dalvin
Cook. There is.
So, like, and if you really just wanted to be out of Minnesota, huh?
And not for that position. Exactly. And I hate to say it, both Dalvin Cook and Saquon have a rich injury history.
Right.
That will scare you too in a contact
position. Absolutely. And so, like, for example, I'd be shocked if, quote unquote, the Vikings released Dalvin Cook and then he made $10+ million on a new deal a year. It just would surprise me. Now he could certainly sign somewhere, get an incentive-based deal, be somewhere that he maybe would rather be, maybe Miami, maybe somewhere else. But I just don't think that he makes anywhere close to what he's making currently. And so that's why he has a real decision to make. And that's why I don't think it's a lock that Minnesota says, hey, we're just going to cut you.
Yeah. And by the way, you're just going to go with Madison? No, dude, be smart. Have a couple of backs. Yeah. You need a couple of backs. And Minnesota, you're really not. Are you that desperate to get rid of the money? You got plenty of money still under the cap right now. You're not.
Right. And they're going through a little bit of a transition. You know, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, I think, is a really smart GM. And they do a lot of things by the numbers. And so they got rid of Za'Darius Smith. His number became a little too high. He wanted a restructure. They felt like his age and where he was in this contract probably wasn't worth it. They moved him for a pick, right? Dalvin Cook, I'm sure if there was a team out there willing to give them some sort of compensation, you know, whether it's a fifth or sixth round pick at this stage, they'd probably consider it. But to get rid of him for free and not really get anything back from, I don't know if they're that at that stage of their relationship, but I could be wrong.
I think it's what you said at the beginning.
Yeah. That's the most likely option. But like I said, I understand. I don't want to crush dreams. I know Dolphins fans were like waiting July 1st. Now it's July 2nd. Where's Dalvin Cook? He's supposed to be here. And like I said, maybe he still gets released and maybe it still happens. But I never saw it as this quote unquote July 1st happens. The Dolphins have money. All of a sudden he's going to get released. The Dolphins are going to sign him and everything's gravy. I just never saw that.
I don't think people realize that it was probably really hard for Chris Greer on draft day when the coach says, no, I want this guy. And it probably pained him to even use a third rounder on the guy because Chris Greer doesn't like to use high picks on running backs. He doesn't like to spend a lot of big money on running backs. So I would imagine it hurt him to even use that third rounder. So that's what I kind of tell fans out there, that they're not going to trade any picks for this guy, and they're not going to pay him money. So if he wants money, he's not coming back to his hometown, because if anything, they're going to want low-hanging fruit. And I don't think that's what Dalvin Cook is looking for, unless he says, okay, these guys are a Super Bowl contender. Here's my chance to get the ring, and let me go, and I'll take the one-year deal, and I'll go there. But
yeah, to me, that's the scenario it would happen. If Dalvin's saying, no matter what, I'm going to Miami, the Vikings somehow do release him for nothing, and right. He takes a very significant pay cut.
$4 million,
I just don't see a lot of history. Maybe Dalvin's different. I don't see a lot of history of guys saying, I'm going to take a huge pay cut to go play for my hometown team.
Yeah, that's just not normal. By the way, A-Chain's deal, Aaron Wilson just reported 4 years, $34.4 million, and he got $954,000 as a signing bonus.
34 sounds a little off. Maybe $3.4 million?
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it is. He probably.
I was like, maybe 3.4, or I don't know. The third round pick, he's probably not making a 34.
That's 3.4 makes sense.
Yes.
My bad. Because it's a $900,000 signing bonus.
Yeah.
You don't get $34 million and get $900,000.
Usually third round picks are making somewhere around a million. Yeah.
I'm wrong. He needs to swing the.
I was like 34. Yeah, a lot of these rookie deals are already kind of pre-structured, and so you already kind of know. Sometimes you have to work with offsets. Like if you cut this dude before the end of the contract, does he get to double dip with another team, or is it, you know, the other team?
Is that what you're telling Dolphin fans that's going on with Cam now? That's probably more language with Cam Smith than money.
Yeah, right, yeah, it's absolutely language. You know, how much of the contract is guaranteed? Is there offset language? Do you have to come for off-season workouts? Is there any bonuses for different things like that? Like, they're small language things, but for the most part, the actual number is already set. You know, you're going to make, I don't know how much a second-round pick makes. Let's say 4 years, $8 million. Like, you can't argue for, oh, I want 8.5. No, it's structured pretty much for a reason. You get your number. Now you can argue for guarantees. You can argue for when you get the signing bonus, how much maybe the quote-unquote signing bonus is, that sort of thing, and like offset language. So that's usually the only thing that holds up negotiations.
Anything going to be available now June 1st? Forget the Dalvin Cook stuff, but any other kind of situations like Dalvin Cook around the league that could open up an opportunity for Miami at another position?
I don't know that there's a lot waiting out there, to be honest. You know, the thing about the June 1st date is that's when money becomes available for other teams, but teams can designate players for June 1st cuts in April and in March, you know? So a lot of the guys who are going to be cut have already been cut. I don't think there's going to be a huge influx of dudes getting cut now that it's quote unquote June 1st. Now, you know, you get to training camp and you see guys and say, hey, this vet's not going to make our team. We give them an opportunity to hit the market early. Sometimes that happens. Teams often save some money. Like I know people look at the figure they got from Byron Jones, $13 million. It's like, oh, we have $13 million to spend. Well, teams like to have $5, $6, $7 million kind of sitting in the bank around the start of the season for kind of emergency fund. Something happens, somebody gets hurt, we need to do this, we need to do that. We need to sign somebody around cut down day that costs a little bit of money. You had that flexibility. And so I don't anticipate them using all $13 million here. They'll use some of it to sign their rookies, which they have, not a lot of money. But then maybe they make a signing or two before camp. But I don't think there's gonna be this huge spending spree of this money.
Byron Jones officially cut today. Do you know anything about it? Where he's at health-wise, future, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, just to be honest, I have heard nothing about Byron Jones. I heard initially that he wasn't, like, at that time, wasn't planning to retire, but I also have heard nothing as far as free agency interest, where he is on his health process, where he is with the Dolphins and how their end is, if there's any, you know, type of litigation he's trying to go through there. I don't know. I've literally heard nothing from Byron Jones. I've reached out to some people who know him well, and he's just, from what I understand, he's not really in the mood of talking. And so we'll just wait until he wants to talk or wants to show where he's at. And so in the meantime, we're just kind of a little bit in the darkness about what's next for Byron Jones.
Has he bought a new Porsche?
I don't know that either. I don't know that either. You know, I did hear rumblings that he sold a car or two. I'm not sure which ones, but you know, I don't know if that's related at all to this injury situation.
He sold one to a current Dolphin.
I'm not sure who he sold it to, but I was told that he sold one or two of his cars.
Okay, all right, sounds good. Well, I mean, you got to plan for the future now that you're not, you know, in football. You got to start cutting back here. You know, not the same amount of money's coming in, so. I like it. Byron is planning ahead for the future, you know, cutting down on the overhead. Very smart, man. Very smart, man. All right, what do you got going on the NFL Network so folks can check you out?
Frank Vogel getting hired by the Suns. Just news just came out. For me, it's the weekend. I'm going to hang out with some family and some friends this weekend. Next week, we gear up for Dolphins minicamp. And so I'll be out there every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You'll have some TV coverage on both NFL Network and our NFL Plus app, both Tuesday and Wednesday, and likely Thursday as well. So definitely heavy Dolphins coverage next week. So tune in to NFL Network, NFL Plus, and we'll give you your last taste of Dolphins in-person access until training camp. And so big week for anybody who's getting wants that final nuggets about their team before – everybody goes on their summer vacation.
Can I ask you for a favor on behalf of the entire Dolphin Nation? I'll do some of it on my own and try to find out. It's time to find out what's going on with the logo. Is there any plans for a change? Because we are in that 10-year period of we're in the window when they can make the change if they want, or maybe there's some plans to make the change in the next year or two or three or something. But I'm wondering, because it's a sore subject for a lot of people in the Dolphin Nation, including yours truly. So I'm wondering if there's any movement at all on the logo.
We will see. I may ask a person or two to see what's going on there.
Okay. You got the weekend to do it. We'll catch up next week.
All right, man. Enjoy yourself. All right.
You got it. Let's go. Get the investigation going. That is Cameron Wolf, baby. KSDT CPAs. Listen, I don't want you dodging the government. You better pay your damn taxes. So here we go. Okay. Home business. There you go. There's the QR code. You can use it. Reach out to our great people. They've got offices in Dade, Broward, Palm Beach. They're going to open one up soon in North Carolina, or I think it's about opened already. They opened another one also I can't talk about. But they're expanding all over the place. I mean, they are just like, they're like dinky doggy, just growing and growing and growing. You know, that might be too much of an old reference for you all out there. But they're growing. Like, you know, it's out of control. That kind of stuff. And they do an amazing job. So if you want to help your business thrive, not just survive, reach out to the great people at KSDT CPA. They can help you in so many ways, from insurance to planning to payroll to, of course, dealing with what's going on right now in the economy and seeing where your business is at. You want to know what your business is valued, all of those things. Reach out to the great people at KSDT CPAs. And if you miss the deadline, they can get you the extension. Or I know that Biden got to cut some of his money on his tax audits that he was going to send out because he was hiring a whole bunch of new people for the IRS. Well, maybe he's not hiring as many, but apparently they're going to go after people that have not paid their taxes in the past years. So if you're one of those, you need to call KSDT. Use that QR code right now. Or call them and tell them that Big O sent you. They will take care of you. KSDT CPAs, 305-670-3370.
This has been the KSDT CPA Pro Football Report with NFL insider Cameron Wolf. KSDT is recognized by Forbes as one of the top tax accounting firms for 2022. KSDT CPA is a full-service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit them at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
All right. John C., thank you for the love on the super chat. He says, would you rather the Finns get Dalvin than the Bills? John C., I can't play that game. You can't worry about that shit. Okay? You just can't. So I'm not worried about that. They have what they want to do with the team, okay? If he wants to come to the Dolphins, then he will not be traded for. They're not giving up picks for him. They're not giving up big salaries. So if he's willing to take a severe pay cut, I've told you guys, $3-4 million, maybe they'll add some incentives on top of that, maybe. Something like that, that would make sense. Or he could go to $5-7 million or something if he reaches certain incentives. But they're not going to give him big salaries. So if he wants a big salary, he's going to have to go somewhere else. And by the way, the Bills, I'm not sure if you know this, the Bills have less money than the Dolphins, a lot less. So they can't really afford to give out that. Their GM said it. That's why they weren't really that active in free agency. Their GM said that they will not be able to spend this offseason because they've got their own players that they've got to retain and keep. And they're not going to be able to retain everybody next year. So they've got to save some stuff here and get ready for what's coming because they've got a wave of players. So you can't play the nervous Nelly game that you're worried about the Bills. And quite frankly, I know some of you may not care for me to say this or may not believe it or whatever. The Dolphins are better than the Bills, and they're going to prove it this year. They just got to stay healthy. They stay healthy, and they got a shot. All righty. What else do we have going on? Ryan Tannehill. You want to hear a funny story? This is a funny story. Ryan Tannehill. Well, that alone is funny, right? I mean, just saying Ryan Tannehill is kind of funny. That is one that does bring some humor to the table. But apparently the Falcons could be interested in trading for Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. So here's Action Network's Simon Hunter reported that Atlanta tried to trade for Tannehill during the draft. Okay. Now, the funny story is the Yard Barker is the one putting this story together. And they actually put on the story that if they trade for Ryan Tannehill, that this, you know what? Let me read it instead. I'd rather read it because I think this is funny. Okay. Now, this guy for Yard Barker, Michael Gallagher, I don't think he watched Ryan Tannehill really close. He says, if the Falcons were to pull the trigger for Tannehill, it would nullify two things. First, nobody knows what Ridder is yet. Desmond Ridder, the kid from Cincinnati that's there, he's only 23 and has only had 4 games of starting experience to be judged on. He hasn't played a down with number 8 overall pick Bijan Robinson and hasn't had the chance to really develop a rapport with London or Pitts. Trading for Tannehill would signal that Atlanta essentially wasted a 3rd-round pick last year. Second, trading for Tannehill also likely makes the Falcons playoff contenders. Oh, and then dashes any hopes of one of the top QBs in the 2024 draft in Caleb Williams, Drake May, Quinn Ewers, or Michael Penix Jr. Trading for Tannehill likely makes the Falcons a playoff contender. In whose eyes? Are the Falcons good enough that Tannehill could lead them to a playoff? No. That's funny. It was a good laugh. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate you out there. What do we have here? At least 30 people were killed and at least 179 hospitalized in India after a passenger train derailed and collided with a goods train in Odalish, Balasore district. Sad. Just seeing that coming across the wire. Anyway, so don't worry about it. Any of that other stuff for that dude that was worried about the Bills fans or the Bills, that is. What else do we have? The writer thinks Tannehill will single-handedly carry them to the playoffs. What drug is Mike? I don't know. Karoon says, I think fans should design a logo based on NFL rules for designs and have other Dolphin fans vote on it. Having said that, I'm one of the few that likes the current logo. Ooh, you do? Ugh. I hate the current logo. Big O, can I pay my taxes in slices of gold or silver cut fresh off bars that I lug around? Oh, man. That is awesome. You never know. Oh, the Falcons do play in the NFC South. Yeah, No. I give New Orleans a shot in the NFC South. Carolina has a better shot than Atlanta. Tampa's terrible. So, yeah, those two, Tampa and Atlanta, will share the bottom of the division. Carolina second, and the Saints will be first. The Saints actually have a playoff team. Now that they added Carr, they've got a playoff caliber team. That's for sure. So Ja Morant ruling is not going to come down right away. Did you guys catch the commissioner? The commissioner was asked about the Ja Morant situation. And he kind of commented that we have found some. Let me read you the exact quote from the commissioner. And I remember when we had Ira, we were kind of going back and forth, and Ira thought it would be about 10 games, and I thought it would be a lot more, like 30. I'm actually starting to think it's going to be at least a half a season. But anyway, it says, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information. I think since I was first asked about the situation, I will say we probably could have brought it to a head now, but we made the decision, I believe the Players Association agrees with us, that it would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of the series to announce the results of that investigation. Given that we're, of course, in the offseason, he has now been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies indefinitely, so nothing would have changed anyways in the next few weeks. It seemed better to park it at the moment, and at least any public announcement, and my sense now is that shortly after the conclusion of the finals, we will announce the outcome of the investigation. Okay? And they gave him an 8-game suspension last time. So that's why I don't think, like, you know, Ira thinks it'll be 10. I think it's going to be now 40. I think it'll be half a season. And I have no problem with half a season or maybe even an entire season so that young man can, like, really work on himself, because he's got problems. He's got serious problems that are going to lead to something really ugly. Forget about just basketball. It's more about the human being. So now the question is Ja Morant smart enough to figure this shit out on his own? You know? That's really the question now. Is this guy smart enough? Does he have the common sense to understand that he has put himself in an absolutely brutal position? We're going to find out. We are going to find out. By the way, those of you in New York or or Florida Live or whatever. What are you going to say there, Sean? What happened? You good?
No, you froze up for about a minute there. I came on to see if what happened, but yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, no, you're back now. You're good. As soon as I hit it, I don't know. I brought you out of the screen and put you back in, and it was fine. I don't know if that did anything or just connection.
Did I get the Ja Morant deal out?
You just finished that, and then you went to go to do something else, and then that's when you froze. You said New York something.
Oh, okay. All right. New York has a lot of rats. No, I'm sorry. Billy Joel is going to end his Madison Square Garden run, his residency. And, you know, I've seen Billy Joel a whole bunch of times. I watched for a couple of years. I was going with the family over to the BB&T Center to see the New Year's Eve show, and it was great. Awesome. But he's had a residency there for 10 years. He has the record now of 150 shows. By the way, he broke his own record of 65 straight there. Okay. He's going to run through July 2024. And throughout that time, Billy Joel has sold 1.6 million tickets at Madison Square Garden. All 50 states, people from all 50 states have gone to Madison Square Garden to go see Billy Joel. How freaking cool is that? Okay? I mean, you would think, oh, yeah, dude, of course. People have flown to go see Billy Joel. Like, I'm dying to do it myself. Now I have till July of 2024. I've seen Billy Joel a bunch. But to see him at MSG, that's just something special. You know what I'm saying? So any of you that have seen Billy Joel at MSG, I envy you on that one. But I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm going to go see Billy Joel by July of 2024. I'm going to make some plans. I got to go out there to New York and see one of those shows. By the way, people from 120 different countries have gone to Madison Square Garden to see Billy Joel. 120 countries. That's awesome. That your music has touched that many people, as diverse as it could be, because obviously lots of them probably don't even speak the English language, and they've probably learned English by singing your songs, you know, that kind of stuff. 120 countries. That's awesome. I mean, it's cool that all 50 states, somebody has gone from all 50 states, but 120 countries, that's badass. That's absolutely badass. Very impressive. The other thing, of course, just to kind of stay on the music journey. Today in music history, in 1978, Bruce Springsteen released Darkness of the Edge of Town, the hotly anticipated follow-up to 1975's Born to Run. In 1978, Thin Lizzy released their double live album, Live and Dangerous. In 1989, a 52-year-old Rolling Stones Bill Wyman secretly married 19-year-old Mandy Smith. All four other Stones attended. The marriage lasted 17 months. 52 and 19. Yeah, you have so much in common. In 1973, Paul McCartney topped both the album charts and the singles charts. His latest LP, Wings, Red Rose Speedway, started a three-week run at number one, while his song, My Love, right, Does It Good, began 4 weeks at the peak of the Hot 100. And in 1983, on this date, Aerosmith kicked off their 169-date Get a Grip World Tour. I remember that. I think I saw that tour. Did I see that tour in the Miami Arena? Was 93 the Miami Arena? Or yeah, it might have been still the Miami Arena. Yeah, it had to have been, right? Because for sure, because the Reno opened like in 88. So, yeah, so it was probably at the Miami Arena, because I know I went to the Get a Grip tour for sure. So that's what happened today in music history. And we have some great news, some phenomenal news. You know, hold on a second here. I'm sorry. A third person now has been charged with the murder of Jam Master Jay from Run DMC. According to a report from the New York Times, Tuesday, May 30th, 49-year-old Jay Bryan of Queens was formally charged with the murder while engaged in narcotics trafficking and other drug trafficking offenses. Federal prosecutors in Brooklyn accused Bryan of being the third person who was involved in the murder of Jam Master Jay, born Jason Mizell. They claim Bryan was seen entering the building the night before the shooting. He also left an article of clothing containing his DNA in the studio where Mizell was shot and killed. Securing an indictment in a secret grand jury, applying an extremely low burden of proof is one thing. Bryant's lawyer said, Cesar DeCastro, about the indictment, proving it at a trial will be another. Prior to the shooting, an investigation revealed that Mizell was allegedly in talks to purchase nearly 10 kilos of cocaine from a dealer in the Midwest. The famed DJ reportedly tried to keep the other two suspects, Carl Jordan, 39, and Ronald Washington, 59, out of the deal worth $1.7 million. That's when Jordan and Washington went to Mizell's studio and fatally shot him in the head. It's rap is a, I've talked about this subject many, many times over. Rap is the weirdest, craziest, dumbest genre of music that we have going on. This doesn't go on in country, metal, rock, pop, R&B, bluegrass, classic, the crazy shit that happens in rap, dude. Guys that are constantly involved in gun violence. We are constantly losing, you know, our musicians. You know, like what happened to, God, what's this guy's name now that I'm brain farting? We just lost him like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, maybe already, because time flies so quickly. Man, this guy was down in the dumps, built up his career, his life, then was helping others, and he gets shot, you know, over some stupid argument. You're talking about
Nipsey Hussle?
Yeah, Nipsey Hussle. You know, a guy that started off things wrong and then straightened out his life, was doing all the right things and helping others. And how are we a better place without Nipsey Hussle? You know, Jason Mizell sucks that he got killed, but obviously he's doing some dirty shit that, you know, you're involved with those kind of people, that stuff happens. But the rap game is the only one where we're constantly killing our rappers, or they're constantly getting themselves in trouble by hurting other people or doing other things. And it's like we lose rappers left and right, like all the time. It's crime ridden, and I don't understand it. And like Jason Mizell, did you really have to be doing drug dealing? Was it that hard to be at Run DMC? Weren't you still making money? Can't you tour? It's kind of weird, right? It's like the DeLorean guy. Okay, so you got this car and, you know, it's all this buzz, and now you're dealing cocaine behind the scenes. And I think DeLorean was also having, the car company was having some financial issues, so he was kind of dealing for that. But it's the weirdest thing. You've made it, and then you still decide to do shady shit. It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. But I'm glad they got the third guy there. That is, by the way, still one of the more entertaining concerts I've ever been to, which was Beastie Boys and Run DMC. That was a lot of fun. Let's see here. Oh, Lordy. All right, let me see. What else do we have here? Big O, WWE tonight. Montez Ford versus LA Knight. Well, you know, Montel Jordan always says, this is how we do it. So I kind of like that song. I know Omar Kelly loves that song. So make sure you reach out to Omar Kelly and tell him about Montel Jordan. And this is how we do it. So since Montel is close to Montez, and, you know, Ford is a tough name. LA Knight, I keep thinking of those. What was those Knight sneakers that were terrible? What were they called? Were they called LA Knights?
British Knights.
British Knights. That's it. Ooh, those were terrible sneakers. So if you tried to bring up an LA version of them, they would be also terrible. So I'm going to go with Montez, don't call me Montel Jordan Ford, over LA, you know, loser shoes, Suge Knight. So, yeah, Let's go Montez Ford. What do you got for me there, Sean?
I hope you're wrong, but I think you're right.
Okay.
No, because LA Knight has been getting huge reactions from the crowd, but they don't use them a lot. And so I don't know if this is...
Does he wear British Knights?
No, no, he doesn't wear British Knights. No, no, no.
Okay. All right, because maybe that might be... You know,
come on now, he's L.A. Knight.
You never know. There are no L.A. Knights, so you figure, you know, he's got to wear British Knights. By the way, if your friend had British Knights, did you make fun of him? In my neighborhood, nobody would have ever bought British Knights because you would have never heard the end of it. Monty Python always made the best British Knights. LA Knight said The Rock stole his shtick. Okay. Can you smell what the LA Knight is cooking? Yeah, doesn't sound good. Are you sure that's what he said? Anyway, Sean, are you into the Arena League?
No, especially since I know probably where this is heading. Definitely no.
Well, you could go to Albany on the 17th and watch Antonio Brown play in the Arena League.
Is he going to play this time?
This time he will play.
Yeah, all the physicals are done. All the physicals are done this time, right?
Apparently he got the physical paperwork in now this time around. So after a major false start, Antonio Brown says, for sure, he's suiting up with the arena team this league, the Albany Empire, on June 17th. The Empire owner confirmed the news in an interview with a local Albany station. Who else wants to interview this clown? Saying he'll make his big debut as the team's home matchup against the Jacksonville Sharks. By the way, if you're asking me why I don't like AB and he's a clown and why am I promoting this, it's because it's going to be a train wreck, and I love train wrecks. Anyway, AB said initially he was going to throw on a helmet and pads when the Empire hosted Fayetteville, the Mustangs, on May 27th, but those plans fell through after he claimed his physical paperwork wasn't turned into the league on time. He is the owner, right? Yeah. It was a huge disappointment for the larger-than-usual crowd in attendance as the team advertised the game as AB's first return to the field since, of course, the game against the Bucks and the Jets. AB says the game will also be a celebration for Juneteenth, and he's planning to make it a party, including a proper halftime show. He also acknowledged that those who may doubt his words given by how things have played out the last month, but Brown says it's 100% happening this time around. To get ready for the game, AB says he'll practice with the team, and he's expecting to help things turn around at 1-5. That's it. It'll be all AB. You know, he's just going to come to the huddle and say, throw it to me. I own the damn team. Throw it to me or you're getting a pay cut. Throw it to me or you don't get a hotel room. Eventually, he'll end up being the quarterback and the receiver, which will be really cool.
Oh, did you see his offer to Cam Newton?
$150,000?
Yeah.
Does he really have it? Will he really pay it? Like, if I'm Cam Newton, I'm like, okay, dude, wire it to my bank now.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere until I have the money because you don't pay.
And I need to make sure flights are confirmed and a hotel is booked.
Well, once he pays him
$150,000, man, come on, Cam Newton.
Exactly. And he can't even pay everybody on the team, so he's now going to pay Cam Newton. It's like watching ESPN fire like 150 people, and then they go and hire Pat McAfee and give him all that money. It's crazy, dude. Oh, man. Let's see. Unfortunately, I don't see Antonio Brown's life lasting too long. He will mess with the wrong people one day. Carlos says, hey, Big O, can you talk about the finals hat again? You had me rolling last night. Well, we already did. We talked about it earlier. They're shot with it. But we talked about it earlier, so you can rewind, my man. You know how it is on this show. We don't really repeat content. We continue. We move on. But I did mention it today because I had the proper hat on. Okay. All right. The Heat hat is the real hat. Not that gas station piece of shit that they made with a patch. Seriously, you could get a white hat at a gas station and just put that NBA Finals patch on it. Oh, I'm sorry. And the Finals one, too. You got to put that in. You get a bonus with the Finals one. Too funny. All right. Panthers tomorrow night, TNT, 8 o'clock. Golden Knights are favored by a goal and a half. I already took the Panthers plus the goal and a half. They're going to shock them, and they're going to win that first game right away. Panthers in six. Okay? Panthers in six. We will be on after the Panthers game. Every game, Heat, Panthers, will give you a post-game show. Win or lose, does not matter. We'll be there for you. So on Saturday, after the game is done, please come to our platform. But you know what? Hit the notification bell. That way you know when we're on. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Please hit the like button. That's very, very important. And again, if your business wants to become a part of our platform and be a partner, great way to pick up new clients, great way to market your brand. 786-754-4664. Our audience is all throughout South Florida, Florida, the United States, and even the world. The audience is all over the place, so we can promote your business at all levels. 786-754-4664. We thank Sean Stanley, as always, mastering the program. We thank Cam Wolf and Manny Navarro. We shall see you on Saturday. Same time, same place, same bat channel.